You know, it's good to recognize what the Lord's doing and try to do it with Him. If you are following with us in the Torah readings, that specific reading that is assigned for the Shabbat of Pesach, which is this week, this weekend, talks about God standing with Moses. The Lord Himself descending in a cloud. This is not to be confused with the Lord appearing as a pillar of a cloud, but it says the Lord descended in a cloud and He stood with Moses. If Messianic Jews had wanted to pick passages that would further our case, they could not have done better for Pesach than picking the Torah reading and the Haftorah reading that has been read in Jewish synagogues for several thousand years now. And I want you to take a seat, even though you've just been standing. I want you to take a seat. I want you to open up your scriptures to Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. And I want you to join with me in seeing something here, because we are at a turning point in history. We are at a point where Jewish people who are believing in Yeshua, who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, are throwing off their fear of shame. They're throwing off their fear of rejection. They're throwing off their fear of being pushed out of the Jewish world, because there is an ever-increasing number of Jews who believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is in fact the Messiah. And it calls for boldness on our parts, and it calls also for us to understand that we who proclaim God in Messiah are speaking accurately from the Scriptures and are building upon the Scriptures faithfully. Verse 5 of chapter 34, "Now the Lord descended in the cloud, and He stood with Moses there, and the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord." Now, it may not be perfectly clear, but Ibn Ezra and Nachmanides both agree that it's the Lord who is standing there with Moses. It's not just that the Lord descended metaphorically or figuratively, or that the Lord appeared in a cloud spiritually. The Hebrew is to be understood this way: God Himself saw cause to come down from heaven and to descend through the cloud, in the cloud, and to stand right there with Moses. And at the same time that He stood next to Moses, at the same time that the Lord stood next to Moses, according to the Jewish sages, the Lord also called out to the Lord who was passing by in front of Moses. And so we now see something, that this is not the Shekhinah presence of God, the kavod of God. It's the Lord Himself, and it's a manifestation of the multi-presence of God. God who can be everywhere, can be somewhere, and not only that, He can be present in two forms simultaneously. This is very important, because if it were not true, then those of us who say that Yeshua the Messiah is also God in human form would be wrong. It is the case that the Torah teaches that God can be physically manifesting Himself, present in the form of a man, standing with the patriarch, standing even with Moses. At the same time, God Himself, in another form, simultaneously passes by with such holiness that only the back can be seen. Because here we see that God has another manifestation of His presence that is so intense that human beings can't live if they were to experience it directly. You can live in the presence of God when He manifests Himself as the Holy Spirit. You can live in the presence of God when He manifests Himself as Mashiach. But if God were to manifest the unrestrained brightness of His being and His holiness, the absolute purity that causes Him to be described as brighter than the sun, you would die and not live. The sun is several million miles away. How many? Who knows? 93 million miles away. It takes approximately 8 minutes for light from the sun to get to us. But if you live in Florida and you are in the middle of the summer and you stand in the sun without protection for a few hours, you will be burning. But if it was the Lord, it would take an instant. And so the Lord knows how to appear to Moses. He appears to Moses in a way that the scriptures have to describe, that he's standing here next to him and he's passing by in front of his face. And the Lord calls to the Lord. And it's so interesting what this means. To appreciate this, we have to pay attention to the multiple dimensions of God. He's Abba, he's Father. He's Mashiach, he's the anointed one or the angel of the Lord. He's Ruach, he's Spirit. And the scriptures, and these scriptures, speak very clearly. But this is what's so interesting. As the Lord passed before Moses, okay, so you got to get the picture. The Lord is standing here and he passes by at the same time. You can't do that. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Now, the Hebrew there is so interesting. Notzer chesed le'alafim. Keeping mercy. Notzer. Notzer is the root from which we get Nazareth, which is Nazareth, from which we get Notzrim, which in Hebrew are the watchmen, in ancient Hebrew, in biblical Hebrew. The Notzrim are those who stand and watch. But it was also used to describe the Messianic Jews. In the first 4 centuries of the Common Era, the Messianic Jews were called Notzrim. And today in Israel, any Christian is called Notzrim, is called one of the Notzrim. And so it says that God himself is a Notzer. He is a watchman and he is keeping watch. And even the root of that word is so important to us. Now, this is a picture of the presence of God being manifest in multiple dimensions. I want you to go now to the Haftorah portion, Ezekiel chapter 37. This is a very important passage that is familiar to many people who know about the Valley of Dry Bones. If you've read this before, the Valley of Dry Bones and the revival of Israel, wave your hand so I can see how many of you are familiar with this. Wave it high enough that I can actually see. Okay, so a good portion of you are familiar with it. I want to read some select scriptures from this, starting in verse 1, Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Now, I want you to see something very clearly. The Lord carries the prophet by the Spirit. This passage requires that we understand that God himself is also Spirit. The same God who could descend and stand next to Moses Rabbeinu, the same God who could pass in front of Moses, is the God who can move by the Holy Spirit. Do you know how important these things are for everyone who says he's a Messianic Jew or joins themselves with the Messianic Jews? This, without getting into confusing terminology about such things as Trinity or Triunity, we don't have to do that. Because the Bible says that God is Echad. He is one, but he is formed. He has multiple dimensions to his form. I don't want to get lost in the English. You know why? Because when God was communicating all these things to us, he wasn't using English. Let's not get lost in the English. Let's get established in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew says God is Echad, and about this no Jew disagrees. And we all understand that God, in being Echad, has diversity to him from which there's unity. And that's why the scriptures are perfectly clear that you can call God Father, and you can call God your Redeemer, and you can call God as well the Spirit. And you're still talking about God. You're not talking about three gods. You're talking about one God who must be known in all of these ways for one reason. Not because you're messianic. Not because you're a Christian. But because this is how God has revealed himself to us. And we have no rights to ignore his revelation of himself. It is to our peril to reject God who reveals himself to us. We don't have the right to say, well, I don't like this part of God. I don't like the Holy Spirit part of God. So I'm going to pretend the Holy Spirit part of God doesn't exist, and I'm going to create a theology for that. You can't do that and prosper. You can do it, but you won't prosper. In the same way, you can say that I don't like the fact that sometimes God seems to appear as a man, so I'm going to remove that and say that's anthropomorphic language. Or that's the language of men to describe something else, because it's very simple and it's very clear that our patriarch saw God and thought he was a man for a while on many occasions. The patriarchs thought this. This is not my opinion. This is what they wrote down for us so that we would never forget it. So we don't have the right to change these things. We have the need instead to learn about God by paying attention to these things which we might prefer to ignore. Now, let's continue. The Lord caused me to pass by this valley that was full of bones. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? God asks this question to Ezekiel for a reason, and that is the man has a role to play. This is not a theoretical question, and it is not a theological question. This is a question with a purpose. When God asks a prophet a question, it's not because God doesn't know the answer, and he's going to the next best choice. It's because God knows the answer, but he needs the man to be thinking of the question. Because he has to begin to ask some more questions like, why would God ask me this question? When the Lord asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he wants you to begin to think about this whole thing, whatever that thing may be. So what does the prophet say? He says, oh, Lord God, you know. Now, that's a little bit evasive, isn't it? And again, the Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones. Now we begin to understand. God said these things. He asked these questions because the man needed to become prophetic towards Israel in a whole new way. You prophesy, and you say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If you want to be involved in the revival of Israel, you have to take into your heart and into your mind the transformation power of this passage. In order to understand how to live and how to be effective, you have to receive the anointing of Ezekiel that allows you to prophesy to the dry bones of Israel and to speak to them. If you say, I don't know if they can live either, you know what? You're standing by and you're a passive onlooker. But those who are messianic are those who are of the anointed one, and the anointed one has anointing. That's what it means. We can make it really clear. Who's messianic? Anointed people. You want to be messianic? Be anointed. It's not just a religious phrase. And to be anointed means you have the power to accomplish what God has mandated for you to do. That's what anointing is. Some people think anointing means that you get like shivers. Or goosebumps, or you feel things a certain way. I don't want to take away from any of that, but that doesn't really accurately and fully describe what anointing is. Anointing is a mandate from God that you can accomplish. And you're anointed if you move in that mandate and accomplish it. Those who are called to participate in the revival of Israel must take these things to heart in order to know how to be prophetic. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It's not, O dry bones, would you listen? It's not a pleading. It's not an argument, and it's not pressuring. How many of you have ever tried to pressure a Jewish person? You know, we were built to resist pressure. We could not have survived as a people if everyone who tried to pressure us was successful. We would have long been gone. Part of our nature is that we are strong enough to resist the pressure of other people and the pressure of the nations in order to conform and to lose our identity. Those of you who have fellowship with Christian pastors may come across some and other Christian groups who will say, well, in the new covenant, there's no need for Jews to stay in this Jewish thing. Well, what should we be? What should we be? Should we be like them? Well, why shouldn't we be free to be like us? Are we the only ones who shouldn't be like us? Actually, it's the nations who are free to not be Jewish. It's not us. The nations are free not to be compelled to be Jewish, even though they join themselves to the God of Israel and the Jewish people. But the Jewish people are free to be Jewish. So, if someone from another nation says, you don't need to be Jewish, you can say, should we all be like you? What should we be then? Should we all be Americans? Should we all speak Southern? Should we say y'all instead of you guys? What is it we should be? Maybe we should all be French. That would please the French. Maybe we should all be Russian. That would please the Russians. What should we be? I think we should be what we are. And so as a Jew, if someone says these things, I say, excuse me, I have other things to do. It's not that we can't talk about it, but I'm free to be Jewish. Prophesy. Say these things. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause spirit, breath, to enter into you, and you will live. Why is this important that this is being read in the synagogues this weekend all over the world? It is because God wants the Jewish people to know something, and the sages of Judaism understood this, that the preservation of the Jewish people depends on a revival of the Spirit. There are two kinds of preservations that are spoken of here. There's physical life, and it says that the sinews come together and the flesh comes together and skin comes on and physical breath comes into you and you live. And then you'll know that I am God. And it gives us a picture that to be alive physically is necessary and important, but it is not everything. I'm not telling you my opinion on this. I could give you my opinion. I'm trying to spare you that. I mean, I have a lot of opinions. I'm trying to tell you what the scriptures are saying so that you're not confused by anybody else's opinion. And so, in verse 7, Ezekiel prophesies as he was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. That's the way to prophesy, as you're commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and I love the traditional Jewish translation, and there was a commotion. There was a noise, and there was a commotion, because the bones came together. Every time the bones of the Jewish people come together, there is a commotion. Whenever the bones of Israel come together, it makes a noise and it causes a commotion. Every Jew who trusts in Yeshua causes a commotion. Every Jew who boldly says, I'm still a Jew, creates not just noise, but he or she causes a commotion all around him. That's a good thing. It's not that we become enemies. It's not that we are forsaking our Jewishness. It's because we are Jews who get filled with the Holy Spirit and who begin to follow the Messiah, Yeshua, and proclaim that Mashiach is Adonai. Because of that, we create a commotion. And you know what? The first commotion is, oh, they're not Jewish anymore. You know, that doesn't cause a commotion. That's not what causes a commotion. What causes a commotion is that we're still Jewish and we believe these things. If you want to stop the commotion, it's really easy. Let the Christians be over there, let the Jews be over there, and pick your sides. And choose and be one or the other. But when a Jew says, I believe in Mashiach, Yeshua, and I'm still a Jew, it creates a commotion. When a Gentile who is born again and who joins himself with the Jewish people and says, I know I may have been born of another nation, but you know what? I join myself to the people of Israel and the God of Israel and serve Israel this way. It causes a commotion. And you should be happy that it causes a commotion. If you try to run from that and hide yourself, you will end up being in a dark cave. And you will face a feeling of hypocrisy and inadequacy, fear and insecurity. If you come out in the open and say, I am who I am, and that is what I am, you will cause a commotion. It's your job. Not to be irritable, but to be full of the Spirit and to be brave. And as I have seen one after another Jewish people who started as a Nicodemus, you know what I mean by that? A secret believer. And realized that they were trying to preserve something that was not worth preserving, which was a position that they could hold on to only if they didn't confess Yeshua publicly. When they gave that up, even if they lost their position, God raised them up to a higher place and a more useful place. And so I say to every Jew who can hear this, and to every Jew who you will meet, be not afraid. The God of Israel is bold, and he will embolden you. Rise up, take your position, create a commotion, let the Spirit of God breathe on you, and you will be revived. That's my message. That's all I have to say. I'm going to stop because I promised to be finished earlier. And I broke the promise because we just couldn't do it. We couldn't do it, Rod. Couldn't do it. I wanted to. I did pretty good because I stopped early instead of when we normally do. Right? So that's pretty good. Here, let me give you a microphone. Okay, before you say this, let me just pray. Okay? You need boldness. I need boldness. Who wants boldness? Okay, stand up for just a second. If you need to sit, you can. But if you don't have to sit, don't. And say to God, if you can come down in a cloud and then you can stand with Moses, I can stand with you, Lord. And I don't mean just symbolically. Lord, I want to stand with you publicly. I want to make it perfectly clear who it is I trust and whose name I have named and who is my Lord and who is my Redeemer. And I don't want to be in anybody's closet. And I have no shame for saying who it is I trust. I trust you, Lord. I'm confident in you. Now, Lord, give me your boldness. You said Israel's revival depended on the Spirit. And I'm asking for your Spirit to come and fill me up, Lord, and to give me gifts that are prophetic by their very nature and that carry with the gifts themselves the intentions of God, the plans of God, and the power of God, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Okay. What about a blessing? You'll get it in a minute. If that didn't bless you, stick around.
All right, we're changing rooms tonight. Rabbi will be doing his service in a large Sabbath room tomorrow, so I will need as many volunteers as I can get tonight. Taking all the chairs out of here, We're supplying the Shabbat room for him tomorrow. We're bringing the Oneg room into this room, setting up for the dinner tomorrow and Passover meal. And so I will need everybody I can get. And I want to meet you over here as soon as the service is over. And in my nicest, loving way, those of you who are not helping, please get out of the way. What that specifically means is do not go in the Oneg room. Do not go in this hallway over here.
And don't stay in here. Right?
Don't stay in here. Go to that back hallway or go outside.
You have to keep this near your mouth.
Go to the back hallway or go outside. Because go away. That's the night. I'm sorry, but I have to be pushy like this because I want to go to bed.
Yeah, we need many hands. It can be done quickly with many hands.
Right.
And so we're asking everyone who can give a hand to do so.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Now don't leave the room. We're going to pray Aaron's blessing. So gather together with family and friends. If this is your first time here, we welcome you. Glad to have you here. We believe in commotion.
We are commotion.
Commote. Mikamotka. Ba'alim Adonai. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord protect you and keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. And the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen.
Chag Sameach, Pesach Sameach.